Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. We'll start reading there, and then once I have you stand in a moment and we get done reading there, I'm going to have you go to a couple other Gospels. I'll give you direction. We're going to read three different places in the Gospels, the same account, same event, one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke. The same thing that happened where people brought their children to Jesus. Parents brought the little children to Jesus. And not Lot is said in either any of these accounts. I think you have to read all three of the accounts to kind of get a real clear picture of everything that happened. But boy, what a moment. And so what great lessons that we can learn this morning. So if you'll stand with me, Matthew 19, we'll read verse number 13, Matthew 19, 13. The Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." If you go over to Mark chapter number 10, Mark chapter number 10, next book of the Bible over to your right, Mark chapter number 10. Again, we'll begin in verse 13, Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13, and we'll read Mark's account of this same event, Mark 10, 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them." And then the next book of the Bible, Luke, if you'll go there, Luke chapter number 18, Luke chapter 18. Again, same event, just a different accounting of it. Remember this, folks, the Bible never contradicts itself, it completes itself. So that's why we read all that the Bible says about something before we draw conclusions. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15, Luke 18, 15. "And they brought unto him also infants." I love that. "That he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this special Sunday. It just comes once a year. This is the Sunday before we start Vacation Bible School. The church looks a little different. The platform always looks a little different, Lord, but the mission is the same. The theme might be different, but the goal is always the same, Lord. You said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And so, Lord, this is going to be a week where everyone sets themselves aside, Lord, and we kind of die to self, and we just don't worry about what's going on in our lives. That can wait. And we just kind of say, how can we be a blessing to the children of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and to this community? And so, Lord, I pray that this sermon would help ready our heart. What a wonderful thing for you to include. God, I'm so awed by the wisdom of the things that you put in the Bible for us. And to be able to see Jesus interact with children. Lord, not a lot of verses, but there it is, three different times. And boy, so much we can learn from it. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I read all three of these accounts. If you look at the scriptures that precede this, Jesus is teaching the people. He's teaching the multitude. And so he is up. He's gathered folks around him. He's been asked some questions. He's answered some of the questions. He's beginning to disciple people and teach people. And so on all of these chapters, you can look right before this happens and see that Jesus is in the middle of a teaching or a preaching session. And then at the end of that, the people bring their children. And so I'm going to break this down as you look at those three accounts. I'm going to cover three things this morning. And I want to give an attaboy to our parents. So first of all, let's start with the wisdom of the parents. The wisdom of the parents. Those, hey, one account says it was infants. Those infants didn't go to Jesus on their own. Somebody brought them to Jesus. Let's talk about the wisdom of the parents. Let's talk about the rebuke of the disciples. Interesting. These are disciples of Christ. These aren't lost people. These are people that are right in there helping Jesus, working alongside him. But you know what? They needed to learn something. Remember, they were disciples, folks. Let's not be too hard on the disciples. They got saved. Jesus gathered them together. He had them for 3 years. And during that time, he had to train them. He had to teach them. Come on, sometimes he had to rebuke them. But, you know, they were in training. And by the way, look at that same group in the book of Acts. I think they did a pretty good job. I think they learned some things. I think that they were taught. So we see the rebuke, though we do see God have to, or Jesus have to rebuke the disciples. And then we see the reaction of the Savior. And boy, it's always good when we can look at Jesus and learn something from him. Let's start with the wisdom of the parents. You say, preacher, why do you say the wisdom of the parents? They were wise because they brought their children to Jesus. They were wise because they brought their children to Jesus. You know, folks, our kids need to be guided to Jesus. I'm going to say something that I wish I would never hear somebody say, and I can't stop it, but I would like to fight up against it. I would like to take the Bible, and I would like to condemn this point of view or this mindset. But how many people have I knocked on their doors, and they say to me, hey, you know, I'll be out bus calling, or I'll be out doing door-to-door, and there's kids there. And I'll say to the parents, hey, why don't you let them come to Sunday school? We got a bus. We can pick them up. If you're not able to come, of course, we'd love for you to bring them. But if you can't, why don't you bring them to Sunday school? And inevitably, I'll have parents say this. They'll say, well, you can ask them, but we don't force our kids to go to church. And a lot of times, you'll have one of them. Come on, how many times have you heard this same thing? I was forced to go to church when I was a kid. And because I was forced to go to church when I was a kid, I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. And folks, listen right back. That is a stinking lie of the devil. I don't know where that philosophy started. I don't know where the first person that ever said that. I promise you, the devil used them to say it. What do you mean you don't force your kids to go to church, or you shouldn't force you force them to go to school? Do you force them to take a bath? Okay, do you force them to brush their teeth? If not, please start doing that, okay? And it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. Oh, you poor little thing. Your mom and dad loved you enough to get you to Jesus, try to get you to Jesus, and you didn't like it, so you're not going to bring your kids to Jesus? What a foolish thing. Amen. Folks, let's bring Jesus into our homes. Amen. We're going to talk about bringing them to church in a minute, but let's start with bringing Jesus into our homes. You know, I talked to a little kid one time that rode the bus, and I was talking to him, and he said to me, I said, are you going to come tomorrow? And he said, yes. And I said, what do you like about church? And he said, well, that's where I come to visit Jesus. And you know what? That made my heart feel good. But then I got to thinking about it later, and it kind of broke my heart. I mean, this little boy's like, I've got to leave my home. Come on, folks, think about this. There's one day a week we go visit Jesus. Well, folks, I don't want my children growing up thinking that. I don't want that to be their testimony later on in life. Yes, we ought to bring our kids to Jesus. I'll say a few words about that. But let's bring Jesus into our homes. Have you ever heard this poem? I love it. And we used to hear it a lot, and it kind of went by the wayside, so I'm trying to resurrect it. How about this song, this poem, If Jesus Came to Your House? Have you ever heard that poem? Can we just read it and listen to it and think about it a little bit? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be your very best. And you keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door? With arms outstretched and welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Would you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go, or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on, or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Isn't this convicting? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. Oh, I want our kids to understand that Jesus is a welcome guest in our home. He's a wanted guest in our home. He's somebody that we talk about a lot. We sing songs about him. We have songs played at our home about him. We open our Bibles and read about him. Let me just say this, folks. I'm glad you come to church, but that little boy broke my heart when he said, you know what? I love coming to Sunday school and riding the bus because once a week I get to come visit Jesus. Thank you, parents. Thank you for raising your children. Thank you for having a Christian home. Thank you for having a godly home. Thank you for including Jesus in the upbringing of your kids. You're doing the right thing. The wisdom of the parents. They brought their children to Jesus. Bring Jesus into your home. How about this? I said it already, but bring your children to the house of the Lord. Timothy ended up being a preacher. But you know what? Paul knew Timothy when he was a little boy. And you know what he said? He said this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Stop, stop, stop. Stop, America. Did you hear that? Here's a young man that grew up to be a preacher. And you know why? You know one of the reasons that God used him? From a child. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." I remember me and Cheryl, when I pastored up in Brazil, Indiana, Central Baptist Church, we began to reach some kids whose mom and dad didn't go to church, but they'd let them to go to church. And some teenagers began to come, and we'd have activities at the church, just anything to keep them off the streets. Come on, get them into a good influence, be a blessing to them. One day I decided, you know, you're always trying to think of new games to play with them. We'd always have a time of Bible. We'd have some fun time too with them. And I told Cheryl, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to do that. Win, lose, or draw. Win, lose, or draw. It's hard to play the game when you don't know the title of it. But win, lose, or draw. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but we got a chalkboard, folks. I don't even think they had dry eraser boards back then, you know. I barely had cell phones anyway. I think everything was better back then. But anyway, so we got a chalkboard, and we set it up on an easel. And I would tell the kids, yeah, you come up here, okay, and I'm going to show you a Bible story, and you're going to have to draw it. And the first team that guesses it right, they're going to get a point. And I would bring a young person up there, and I'd open it up, and it would say, "Daniel in the lion's den." I said, "Now you got to draw that." And they would look at me and go, I'd say, "You got to draw Daniel in the lion's den, okay?" And then they're going to guess it. You know the story, Daniel in the lion's den. They're like, "I don't know that story." I can't imagine, we're like in the church here. Imagine the team's right there. The easel's right there. I've got a kid up here. I'm showing him Daniel in the lion's den. And so what I would do, I'd say, "Come with me." And I'd go out the back door around the ship, through the side door over here. And I'd take them out in the hallway, and I'd tell them the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And then they would come out and say, "Okay, now I know the story." And I'd draw Jonah in the whale. "You need to draw that. Look at me. I don't know that story." Folks, listen, this is not Africa. Come on, this isn't Saudi Arabia. This isn't Russia. This is the United States of America. Now, folks, that was back in the 1980s. Please tell me it's gotten better. Has it gotten better or has it gotten worse? I guess I want to say again, an attaboy, give you all an attaboy. You know what? Thank you that you bring your children to church. And by the way, You know what? I know some people work on Sunday, whether it's right or wrong, they do. They could come to church. Some of them, they won't come to church. That's all right. You know what? You know why we spend the money running these buses? Because we've got to get the children to Jesus. We've got to get the children to Jesus. We've got to get the children to Jesus. Hey, if mom and dad won't bring them, a bus captain ought to be willing to bring them. Come on, if mom and dad won't bring them, then let's get some bus workers out there and let's find the kids. Let's bring them to Jesus. Let's bring them to Jesus. Bring your children to Jesus. Let's bring the children of America back to the church house. Amen. I've said this so many times, but I'm going to say it again. I don't think there's anything wrong with America that couldn't be fixed if every mom and dad in America next Sunday morning would just decide from now on we're going to get up, we're going to get these little kids dressed, and we're going to get them into a church that preaches the Bible. I think you would find out that 90% of the problems of this nation would disappear in a short amount of time if we just get first mom and dad back in church and bring the children to Jesus. So I'm picturing Jesus, he's teaching and preaching, and all of a sudden at the back, can you see these parents? Some of them are carrying little toddlers. The Bible even says there were infants. Some of them, another portion said that they were children. I think there was just a little of everything. Can you see those mamas back there holding them babies? Can you see them holding the children by the hand? And they're coming closer and closer, and they're being respectful of the fact that Christ is teaching, but when he comes to a place where it seems like he's done, all of a sudden they start pressing forward. They want to get the children to Jesus. Say, preacher, why is God blessed Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I think there's a lot of reasons, folks. And by the way, I say this often, you know what? We're not a perfect church, and I'm not a perfect pastor, and there's so many things I'm sure we can do better than we're doing. But I think one of the reasons God keeps blessing this church is there's a church still in this area that loves the children. And we'll go after the children and try to do everything we can to bring the children to Jesus. Number one, the wisdom of the parents. They brought their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to touch them. You think about that. It literally says that they brought them so that he would touch them. Another place said they brought him so that he would lay his hands upon them. Now, folks, listen to me. You know, from time to time, by the way, I was back there. Some of you were standing there and you saw this morning. But I was back there talking to a group of people, and you know what? All of a sudden, I feel a little kid grab my leg. And little Grayson, I looked down, little Grayson come to church, man. And when he comes to church, you can ask Ryan, you know what? Who he starts asking about? The most important person here. That should have been your answer. What are you doing? I shouldn't have had to say that out loud myself. Oh, he wants to see his buddy. They ask him in the nursery, who's your best friend? And he'll say, Pastor, you know what? Little Ben graduated from kindergarten. I just ran into his teacher at Walmart. At Walmart, he graduated from kindergarten. I ran into his teacher at Walmart. She was shoplifting. And so, you know, Bible Baptist people, you know, don't worry, I paid for the stuff. She's okay, you know. But that's terrible. His kindergarten. I'm so rotten sometimes. His kindergarten teacher, she stopped and she told me what you'd already told me. And I act like I hadn't heard it. You know, she said, hey, I got to tell you something about Ben. They asked him, asked all the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they asked Ben, and he said, I want to be Pastor Jerry Ross. Some of you are, I'm thinking, no, I know me. That's not a, I want to be pastor. She said, isn't that sweet? And I said, it is, but I said, what a responsibility. Folks, listen to me. All of us have that responsibility. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not. You know what? Everybody in this church ought to be trying to influence these children for Jesus. Come on, let's touch a multitude of lives. It's one thing, and by the way, when he grabbed my leg, you know what I did? I reached down, put my hands on him. And I usually kneel down when I feel like I can get back up. I kneel down sometime, and I'll talk to him a little bit, and I'll put my hands on him, and just on his head or on his back, you know, and I do that to the children. You'll see me sometimes when they walk up, talk to me, I'll touch them on the head. You know what? When I do that, I pray for them every time. I'm like, God, please. Even when I'm talking to him sometimes, God, please, bless him. protect them, watch over them. You know the devil hates children. This is going to shock you because it shocked me. But I had a man one time literally tell me, wouldn't come to our church, wouldn't come back to church. He said, you just got too many children. And he said, I just can't stand children. I mean, he said it. And you know what I told him? I said, well, you and the devil have something in common. That's right, by the way. You know, listen, folks, we're so worried about hurting somebody's feelings, we don't ever speak truth anymore. And boy, he kind of took a step back. I said, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And he didn't know what to say. I said, brother, if you're not going to come to a church that loves children, I'm not sure I'd want you there. I said, you need to get your heart changed. You need to get your heart right in that area of your life. But Jesus wanted them. You know, so it's one thing for the preacher. It's one thing for an adult, put their hand on the child and pray for them. But folks, we're not talking about a pastor. We're not talking about a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. This is the hand of God.
Right.
Come on, Jesus was the Son of God. He was also God the Son. Listen, we believe in a triune God here. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one God. Yes, there's one God, but he chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities. You say, I'm not sure I understand that. You're never going to understand God. Get over it. Okay, that's like an ant trying to understand me. No, it's bigger than that. The ant has a better chance of comprehending me than I do of comprehending God. It's about time we start treating God like he ought to be treated, with reverence and awe and respect. But listen, this was the hand of God upon the children. Hey, parents, listen to me. It's one thing to bring them to Jesus, but do you want him to put his good hand upon them?
Amen.
Come on. Do you want him to put his good hand upon them? I'll talk to a young person every once in a while, and I'll use this phrase, whether it's right or wrong. I'll just say, you know what? Just God's all over that young person. I'll say sometimes interacting with a young man, I'll say, you know, God's hand's on that young man. By the way, that's a scriptural thing. It's a biblical thing. All through the Bible, we see verses where the Bible says God's hand was on someone. Ezra, in Ezra 7:6, it says that about him, that the hand of the Lord, his God, was upon him. Nehemiah 2:8, Nehemiah said this, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Ezekiel 1:3, Ezekiel, by the way, this is said of Ezekiel more than anybody else in the Bible, that God's hand was upon him. It says that in Ezekiel 1:3 and Ezekiel 3:14, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me, it says in that verse. Ezekiel 3:22, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me. Ezekiel 33:22, now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Folks, listen to me. That ought to be the wish of every single one of us. God, please just reach down and put your hand on me. And you know what we need? We need God's hand upon our children. It's one thing to bring them to church. Listen, church is good. But listen, let's not just bring them to church. Let's bring them to God. Let's pray for them. Let's beg for God's blessing upon them, God's anointing upon them, God's protection on them, that He would raise them up to be a generation that would serve him and always have God's good hand upon them. That's New Testament too, by the way. It says that of John the Baptist, and the hand of the Lord was with him. In Acts 12:21, this first generation of Christians, the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. You know, what could we do? Come on, Blessed Baptist. What could we do? And what could we see done if every one of us would say, God, I just want your good hand upon me. Acts 13:11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I was thinking about that. They wanted Jesus to pray for their children. I know, folks, we spent quite a bit of time, but man, this is what it's about. Let's get them to Jesus. Parents, thank you for doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, if you're just bringing them Sunday morning, we got church Sunday night. If you're just bringing them Sunday morning, Sunday night, we've got Bible club on Wednesday nights. We're in a break during the summertime, but hey, every opportunity you can have to bring your kids into church and get them under the preaching teaching of the Bible and get the Word of God inside of them. Do it, do it, do it, do it.
Amen.
The wisdom of the parents. And then we see the rebuke of the disciples. Now, by the way, like I said, these were men in training and they were sincere. I believe that they were sincere. You know, I kind of look at them that day as acting like our ushers, you know. Preaching's going on. All of a sudden, all these parents show up with their kids, and they're kind of at the back, and they keep pressing and pushing themselves a little closer. And folks, listen to me. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but not all kids are quiet. It says that they had infants, you know. I can't imagine the infants were just laying in their swaddling clothes, quoting John 3:16. You know, they're probably doing a little fussing and a little crying. They're kids. But you know what? I think that they kind of acted like ushers. And when they wanted to see Jesus, hey, you know, he's preaching and he's teaching. He's spending time with the adults here. And you need to wait and you need to wait. And then wait a minute. We're going to see Christ's reaction in a minute. But Jesus looked up and saw that and said, whoa, stop. The rebuke of the disciples. Their mistake was, watch this, folks. Boy, listen, church, come on now. Their mistake, preacher, they were sincere. I think they were trying to make sure Jesus wasn't interrupted. But wait a minute. What was their mistake? They saw children as a bother instead of a blessing. That was their mistake. They saw children as a bother instead of a blessing. Can I just sound the trumpet? And I don't want to be negative all the time, but there's so much going on in this world that preachers need to stand up and say something about. Amen. Folks, listen to me. I'm seeing married couples, people, young couples getting married and refusing to have children. They have dogs instead of children. Yes, sir. They have cats instead of children. And they treat them like children. And if you ask them, well, we just decided we're not going to have children because, you know what, they're just so much of a responsibility, and we want to do this, and we want to do that, we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we wouldn't be able to do it if we, you know what, a selfish generation, it's about me, I think about how many couples out there want to have children, and for some reason, that's been restrained in their life, and they can't have children, and then here's people that could have children, and they'd rather have dogs. Now, I'm sorry, but there's something sick about that. Preacher, don't go here again. I am sick and tired of the way we've elevated animals to the level of human beings. Man alive, what is wrong with us? Now think about that. Children, the Bible says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And folks, listen to me. Sadly, we have families that don't want children. But I'm going to say it. It's true. We have churches that don't really want children. Not really. Now, if you ask them, they'll say, you know what? We just don't have many children in our church. And you know, we need to have children. They acknowledge it, they say it, and I want to say, well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Okay, Jesus, by the way, in this portion of Scripture, no, that's not true. In Matthew chapter 18, you're not far from there. Once you go over to Matthew chapter 18, Jesus elevated children. Now, folks, I'm going to read this to you. But Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, elevated children and labeled them as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 18, and let's look at verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now again, these are disciples. I always think of them as Bible college students, and oh my goodness, saints. And that helps me to understand the disciples a lot more. And, you know, they're all kind of jockeying for position. Come on, James and John, remember the time they came to Jesus and say, hey, could you do something for us? What do you want? When we get to heaven, could, like, one of us sit on your right hand, one of us sit on your left hand. Oh, my goodness. So, Bible college students, okay? And so, I'm sorry, but I'm suspicious of this question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I think they kind of wanted them to say, well, you disciples that have left everything and decided to follow me, you're the greatest. Oh, look at this, folks. Isn't this good for us? Verse 2, and Jesus called a little child. Now, can you see that? I pictured this in my mind. I just learned to read the Bible years ago. I just don't read it. I see it. Can you see our Savior listening to that question, seeing these 12 disciples in front of him, all hoping that they're the one that he picks as the greatest? And Jesus looks over at a mom over there holding a little child. I just picture, you know, little Sophie this morning. I said, "How old are you?" And she goes, and I can't help but think that's who I'm picturing right now. Sophie, you know, those beautiful eyes. Oh, my goodness. You know, and the little curly hair. And he says, "Come here. Sophie, would you come here?" And she goes running to Jesus. You know why? Because she trusts Jesus. She loves Jesus. She knows she's wanted by. You know what? Kids know if you love them or you don't. You can fool adults. You ain't going to fool kids. You know, Brother Ken was giving me an attaboy back there because we had some fun during Sunday school here. I will make you fishers of men, and I'm throwing it out of the boat. All the kids are throwing, and I realize every time we sing that, they're throwing all their hooks right at me, you know. So we're playing and having them hide behind the pulpit from them, and you know what? I don't want our kids to come down the hallway and preachers there and feel like they have to walk a big circle around me. I want them to look at me and say, "That's my preacher," and head for me. And you know what? That only happens when you you can't fool kids. You can't fool kids. Come on. And so Jesus calls little Sophie and holds her by the hand. And I see all the disciples going, "What?" Watch this. Verse 3. "And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we've read that a couple times in the other stories, right? Yeah. Let's stop and just address that real quick. I'll keep going where I'm going if I remember how to get back to it. But okay, he said, stop a minute. Too many times you think a child has to become adult-like before they can get saved. He says, adults, if you're going to get saved, you got to become childlike in the simplicity of faith. Amen. Too many adults have been educated past being able to be saved. Sat in their public schools or went to the university, and they've led a bunch of heathens, wicked heathens,
Amen.
Posing as professors, destroy their faith in the existence of God. They think the smart people believe in evolution. Good night, folks. It takes more faith to believe evolution than it does to believe the Bible. You know, when Darwin, in his Origin of Species, how many times have I said this, uses the phrase, "let us suppose," 800 times in his thesis. Man, if I could have you give me 800 leaps of faith, I could convince you of anything. Okay, so let's hit that. But then look at verse 5. "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Hey, VBS workers, Sunday school workers, children's church workers, let's never forget that. When you are kind to a child, God looks down and says, I'll just take that as if you were kind to me. When you love the children, he looks down and says, I'm just going to treat that as if you're loving me. I mean, he once time said, if you take a little glass of water and give it to a child, that's like bringing a glass of water to Jesus. Folks, listen, look right up here. I know you know it, but I don't want us to ever lose it. Our church, I mean this, I think it defines us, but let's not change. Listen, we need to minister to the children. We need to love the children. Suffer the little children to come unto us, for such are the kingdom of God. Okay? Then he goes on to say this, verse 6. Preacher's about to go nuts here, so put your seatbelt on. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. There's perverts that are coming after our children. Some of them, come on, our public school system is wicked and foolish to hire some of them and put them in the classroom. Perverts, 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 perverts. Drag queens going down to the library and reading children's books to children, and parents that are ignorant and stupid and wicked enough to take their children to that. What is wrong with that? You know what God looks down and says? It'd be better if we put a millstone around your neck. Come on. Deep lake and a short rope and a millstone.
Amen.
It would be better that would happen to you than you have to stand before God one day and lead these children into wickedness. You say, preacher, I don't know if I agree with your opinion. That's not my opinion. That's Jesus' opinion. It's red letter words, folks.
Amen.
That's what he said. Verse 7, woe unto the world because of the offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maim, than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now, folks, listen to me. I know I've gone down here quite a bit, but why did we come here? We want to be reminded that Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the children. Senior saints, I love you, but sorry, you're not the greatest. Middle-aged folks appreciate you, but you're not the greatest. Come on, teenagers, look right up here. You're not the greatest. The little children. Come on, let's keep ministering to the children. If we were to adopt a Christian view of children, if we're to adopt this, then we need to understand that ministering to children is our top priority. Hey, disciples, I see what you're doing. I know you're learning. Come on, Bible college students. I know you're learning. I know you think you're being helpful. But there's a line you just crossed when you thought that somehow adults were more important than children, because Jesus said that just the opposite is true. Now let's look at the reaction of the Savior. We'll wrap it up. We'll be done. We see his displeasure. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And verse 14, and when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children. Here's his rebuke. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. What is his reaction? We see that he is much, here's the Bible phrase, much displeased. And you know what? He's not just displeased on the inside. He's going to let them know he's not happy right now. He said, hey, stop. Hey, disciples. Whoa, hey, stop. What are you doing? You let them people through. You let them children come to me. Mamas, thank you for bringing the children. What's their names? Can you know, again, I'm picturing this. Can you imagine Jesus interacting with those children? I think he took time for every single one of them. I think he got down and talked to them. I think he picked up the little ones. The Bible says he picked them up and held them in his arms. I think he took the little ones and picked them up and just had a little conversation with them. And again, the hand of God upon them, the arms of the Son of God upon those children, the prayers of Jesus for those children. Whew, that's something special. Folks, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to love the children. If we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to bring the children to Jesus. We've got to bring them in. We've got to welcome them. Folks, listen, and some of you may not know this, and I know, I think one Sunday a year, we have something I call the Children's Parade, and we haven't even done it every year, but I mean, during this service, 10:30 service, sometimes every couple years, I'll say, you know what, let's bring all the children from all, you know, there's a primary church going on right now, you know, there's junior church going on right now, you know, that there's a fifth and sixth grade church we call next level church going on right now, and we'll line them all up and we'll bring them through the auditorium, and me and my wife will greet every one of them, get a picture taken with every class, and give them a little treat and make a big deal of them. And one Sunday a year, we get to see the young people that are being ministered to the other 51 Sundays, and they're out of sight, and sadly, sometimes out of sight, out of mind, but they're a big deal here. I got to say some big thank yous. I'm thinking about the people right now that could be sitting in here enjoying a message, okay? And you know what they're doing? Come on, those of you that have been involved in children's ministries, it's full on. I mean, it's full on, okay? I mean, you don't go home rested up. You know, you got to give everything. Come watch Vacation Bible School. It's full on. It takes a lot of energy and excitement. It takes an entire team of people working together. Hey, let's this week, look up here, church. Let's die to self. Let's die to self. Come on, let's not let the devil get in on this stuff. Okay? Teenagers, this isn't the week. Come on, this isn't the week for a bunch of nonsense and drama. Die to your stinking self. Moms, dads, you hear that junk coming home, hammer it. Some of you need to have enough guts to look at your teenage girl and tell her, shut up. Shut your face. Stop being a wicked little selfish heathen. Die to self, get in there and serve. Come on now. Did I say it plain enough there, Brother Mike? Just like Brother Townsley would have said it. I know it. I know. Amen. He's got East Coast people. He's got to be a little more refined than I do. You know, we just passed a redneck, so we can. No, that, it don't hurt. Come on, dads. Let's get in control of this thing in our homes. All this little silly, petty bunch of garbage and foolishness. We've got primary. We got primary kids that get along better than some of our teenagers do, and that's a wicked shame. I said it's a wicked shame. And so let's get right with God, because you know what? By the way, if you want to make it all about you, come see me after the church, and I don't need you in VBS. I don't need you. I don't need that poison in VBS. Okay, come on, Brother John. We've been doing this a long time, haven't we? We don't need that wickedness. Stop making it about you. Die to your stinking self. No drama. This is a drama-free zone. VBS, drama-free. All right. Who's making signs? Who's making signs for VBS? I need somebody to make me a bunch of drama-free signs. Yeah, drama-free. Put them in every room. Put them in the foyer. Put them in the auditorium. By the way, if you'd put them in your house, I wouldn't have to worry about it. Man, I was being so sweet this morning. I was. Miss Ashley, I was like, you know, Miss Ashley's here. She needs her pastor to just be loving and kind and sweet. And then there I went off the deep end, you know. It's about the kids. It's about the kids. It's about the kids. Come on. Jesus, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Hey, Sophie. Disciples, shut up. Put your stinking pride away. Serve the children. Love the children. Win the children. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. You're so good. Thank you for being patient with us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. Now, we've been allowed by you, and we know it's by you, God, to have a unique opportunity here this week. And Lord, through the sacrificial giving of your people, we've been able to afford to buy buses and put fuel in them every week. And because of the willingness of our bus workers and bus captains to go out and knock doors and sign kids up, Lord, we have a unique opportunity. And this week, Lord, we even have a greater opportunity. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us not to pass up a kid. Help us to knock on doors. Help us to take the flyers and help us to seek out the children. Lord, I think when we're doing this, I just have to believe it, that when we're doing this, that you're pleased, that you look down from heaven. That you see that there's still a church, there's still somebody that gets it. Who's the greatest? Jesus said, get the kids. Get the kids. Get the children. Just bring the children to me. Bring them to me. Lord, I pray that you'll give us a great week, Lord. Dear God, I pray that we come to Vacation Bible School with our hearts right and clean, dear God, ready to go, ready to go, ready to go, ready to serve. Lord, I pray that you would give us incredible results this week. We pray in Jesus' name.